My name is JJ Sutton with AR Hunters, and I'm interviewing Josh Mapes today, who is here to tell us his tips for helping us slay more coyotes this year. Everybody wants to get that done. So Josh Mapes is here. He's going to give us as many tips as he can come up with, but we're going to ask him for five of his top tips. We know he's been getting it done. Some of you know who he is and are following him. He's got a great following out there in social media. He's been stacking the fur pretty regular, and we're excited to have him. So we're here. We're asking him. He's going to share some of his trade tricks with us. Josh Mapes owns Overdrive Outdoors LLC, and we're looking forward to having him discuss what he's been doing out there. Make sure that you do look them up on Facebook, follow them just like you would do with AR Hunters as well. So without much further ado, folks, here is Josh Mapes. Josh, welcome, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say today.
Hey, JJ, thank you for having me.
Hey, so this is kind of just, the start of the season. How do you, before we get started with a lot of your questions, how do you feel the season is going to go this year? What's it looking like for you?
Oh, actually, it's started pretty good. I've made 15 sets this year. I've called in 9 predators, and I've only put down 2 of them. But, it's only the very beginning of the year, so it's a pretty good start so far. It's just, you can't give up, and you just got to keep on going after them to make it a season worth having, you know what I mean? But either way, it's fun out there no matter what we do, so.
Any day, out in the woods is better than a day at the office, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always at work wishing I wasn't and wishing I was out hunting, but, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, there we go. So, like I said, you have been getting it done. You know how to stack the fur, and some of our listeners and followers out there know that you're a guy that is getting it done. And what could you share with us as a way to slay more coyotes this year?
Well, one of the first things that we try to focus on when we're even preparing for the next year is making sure that we've got the ground to hunt. We primarily focus on private ground. We're dealing with cow farmers, dairy farmers, sheep farms, et cetera. We do very little public ground, but we always just try to make sure that we have a vast selection of ground to hunt that have coyotes, because let's face it, if the coyotes aren't there, you're not going to be able to put them down anyway.
Yep.
So that's one of our first things we make sure is that we always try to gain more ground. We never really turn anything down unless it's something that's better suited for a trapping situation. But if it's something we can call and hunt, that's one of our biggest things. You got to have that ground to be able to do it on.
Absolutely. And now, I guess being private ground, you guys don't do much public lands. Is it because public lands are just too busy, a lot of other folks out there, or is it just something that works better for you guys right now in your area, your region, that you've got the contacts to, work private ground?
Well, I've got plenty of private property that I can hunt that I can focus on, for the entire year. I would have to re-hunt some of my stuff, but that really doesn't bother me. But my primary thing is, in order for me to go out and do this at night on the public ground around me, I have to use a rimfire rifle or a shotgun, and that is just not something that I enjoy. So I try to primarily focus on private ground where I can use my centerfire rifle. Anything under 269 diameter in Michigan is legal at night on private ground, and that's primarily why we try to focus all on private ground.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good start. What would be a tip number two if you, what would be the next on your list of helping somebody, chase down a couple more coyotes or fur bears this year?
Well, I think second thing we always do is make sure that we get on our Google Maps, Onyx Maps, the day we're going hunting. We always try to make sure that we've got the wind for the area we're going to be calling. We do a lot of scouting via online mapping and stuff like that, apps on our phones. and we just try to make sure that our conditions are going to be right for the area we're going to hunt. I mean, a coyote could take in, I don't remember if it's 6 or 7 different smells at one time and determine what they are. So if one gets downwind of you, it's pretty much game over. So we always try to make sure that we lay out a game plan before we leave the house to make sure that we have the ideal setup with the wind direction for, you know, to enable us to get them killed before they can get downwind of us.
Very nice. So that's something you can do, you know, if the wind is howling or, you know, you just can't get out there for whatever reason. You can do some advance work or scouting while you're, you know, just at home and you know, not out on the road chasing one down. You can kind of load this up and prepare yourself before your set even starts then.
Exactly. And, you know, we do a lot of this stuff on the side of the road sometimes, too. If we get a wind direction switch, we can just jump on our maps or on our Onyx on our phones and say, you know, it's better for this area. Let's cruise over there instead of wasting time over here.
Okay. So then it can also help you make your sets that much more efficient, too.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, well, that sounds like that helps, you know, I guess modern technology makes us you know, all better in some ways. And, you know, hopefully it gives us one more tool to chase down these predators that have sometimes home field advantage, right?
Exactly. You know, and it's always, you know, technology is always improving and it's always working in our favor for the most part. You know, we used to never have Google Maps, Google Earth, anything like that. And now we do. We try to use it as much as we can.
Very good. Well, I like what you're sharing with us so far. What would be, you know, tip number three?
Probably tip number three is having the right rifle, you know, to get the job done. We're in Michigan. We're limited to 2.6-9 diameter at night. And, you know, I used to use a 243. I still got one. I got a couple guys running a 6.5 Grendel. And I'm also now running a 22 Nozzler from Brenton, USA. And, you know, we just got to – you got to have the weapon to get the job done efficiently. There's some people that still like the Rimfires, the 17 HMR, the Super Magnum, 22 Magnum, but it's just not all that effective all the time. You know, it's not a one-shot and done every single time like these centerfires are. And so we try to focus on, you know, making sure that we got everything right to get the job done quickly, humanely, and ethically. And that's the same with our scopes. You know, a lot of us are running, we're hunting mostly at night, so we're running night vision. We got some guys running ATN and some guys running Pulsar, but, you know, quality optics to get the job done and the right rifle caliber to get the job done is just, it helps tremendously.
Well, and sometimes, you know, if you are, you know, if you're making money at this too, you know, the consideration of fur friendly is something too. So, you know, 17 HMR is a really good thing, but it does seem to have a really specific narrow field of use, you know, meaning your distances have got to be much closer and, you know, the environment's got to be just right. It's got to be a little lower wind. You know, the lethality isn't as long-legged as some of these other calibers you mentioned, too.
Yeah, I agree completely. 17 HMR, you know, when we were using that, we were trying to stick to under 100 yard shots, and now we're reaching out to 250, you know, no problem.
Okay. Yep. So, you know, caliber for the, you know, for the right job kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Very good. And what, you know, on your daytime rifles, what are some of your optics that you got, optics considerations that you've used? Because Michigan, you know, from what I understand, you guys get cold up there, you know. So optics can be, you know, temperamental, the environment, heat, cold, fog, precipitation. What optics work for you guys when you're, you know, varmint hunting?
What we're actually using is the ATN day night scope, which is a digital night vision and a daytime scope. So, and those have held up darn good for our cold conditions. It's all color daytime. It records through the scope, in 1080p, and those have worked great for us. But, you know, otherwise traditional glass, on my 17 WSM, I have a primary arms scope, and those are relatively cheap, and they've been very, very good scopes for us. And, I mean, they're clear as a bell, and they work great.
Again, I like what you're sharing. I think this is going to help some people stack some varmint fur out there, and it is just going to hopefully be what people need to hear. And
Yeah, let's hope so.
what would be your next tip?
Next tip would probably be cover. We have to basically blend in with our surroundings. We don't, during daylight especially, a coyote can pick up your movement real quickly. So you can't be standing out in a wide open field like we do at night. Now at nighttime,
Yes.
we just try not to skyline ourselves. We'll If it's a dark night, no moon, cloud cover, we'll stand out in the middle of a field, but it's only because we blend in
Yeah.
dark clothing in a dark field at night. You have to make sure you blend in. They can't see you. They can't pick you up moving. Otherwise you're just going to get busted and that coyote's going to be 10 times harder to kill the next time you go after them.
Well, they do have the home field advantage. They are predators. They are looking for anything that stands out of the ordinary, for food or, their own safety too. So it makes
Yeah,
sense.
absolutely.
So, how do you guys use some of this during your, not so often day hunts then?
What we try to usually do is we'll set up outside of a thick area like a swamp or a pine tree grove, whatever, and we'll make sure that the wind is coming from that area to us. And if it's snow on the ground, we'll be head to toe covered in snow camo up against, a tree or whatever. And gun always at the ready on our shoulder, where all we have to do is drop our head and get on the scope and we're ready to go. And that it works pretty good for us. But the fact is down, up here we're not doing a lot of my guys have changed 99% of the time to nighttime hunting only.
Okay.
But yeah, when we do it in daylight, you just got to make sure you're hidden, you're calling the areas that the coyotes feel comfortable to be in, which is, those thick areas, and it works pretty good when we go out there and do it during daylight, but it's a rarity anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I know, different parts of the country, it just works better, day, night, some of the regions have their preferences, and it's neat to see that
Absolutely.
you guys, get it done in the night. I mean, that's I've done some night hunts. They're totally completely different than day hunts, and it's a whole different game. It's a lot
It's
of fun.
quiet out there and it's peaceful in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it definitely is. What would be one of your last tips that you could share that would, help these guys out?
Probably having a good caller, whether it be electronic call or mouth call, we try to have both of them on us. Most of my guys are running Fox Pro electronic calls. And we run those because, you can put them out in front of you. You can have a decoy on them, and you can direct the attention of the animal towards that sound rather than directly to you. Now, like I said, we always carry hand calls around us because things happen, batteries die. Sometimes remote won't connect to the call for whatever reason. Anything electric can fail, so it's always good to have something extra just in case. But having a good electronic call to put out in front of you, get the sound away from you, and direct that attention is almost a 100% must anymore, also.
And these electric collars these days are just incredible. I mean, I really like the fact they have multiple species, sounds, calls that are available to you. You can mix them up, you can change them. One area, one set might have a preference to what small game is in the area. The next set might have, a different kind of small game in the area that the coyotes are, alerting to or have an interest in, or it's so neat to see what they can do with electronic callers these days, because it's a huge variety of stuff that they can bring to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many sounds available anymore for them. One of the guys we get a lot of our sounds from is Tony Tevy, and he's down in New Mexico, but he's putting out sounds of guinea pigs and squirrels and skunks and rabbits and chickens. And he's just got an endless supply of stuff you can go through and say, this might work good in this area because, let's say you're running on a chicken farm hunting and you've got a chicken distress sound, it's going to work because they know that that food is there. It's not
Yeah.
something completely different to them, so having that variety is just amazing.
What are what's your go-to call that you know just is going to be the one, you know, if you're in an area that you don't have a lot of information about, you know, which sounds like it's going to be odd for you anyway because you do so much advanced work and homework, but what would be one that, you know, just in your repertoire that you really like to use?
As in sound?
Yeah. What works on your caller that, you know, if you're just going to throw something out there to see, you know, if a varmint's got some interest, which one do you throw out there just to, you know, check the night?
99% of the time, the sound I would play on a situation where I'm not quite sure of what kind of predator's in the area, if it's a fox, a coyote, whatever, I'm going to play a high-pitched rabbit distress sound like the Tony Tebbe cottontail candy sound. That sound is amazing, and if there's a predator hungry enough and it wants to come in, it will be there to that sound.
Very nice. Okay. Well, I think that's enough tips that these guys are going to really enjoy, you know, listening, and they're going to go take this information and use it, better their odds of stacking some fur this year. Now, you mentioned you have a new rifle. Tell me what that is and why you're, you know, kind of moving in the direction of that rifle.
Yeah, you know, we picked up Brenton USA rifles this year. A couple of our guys are shooting them. I'm shooting a .22 Nosler by Brenton USA, and that is, I'm coming from a bolt action 243, and even the other night I killed a fox and a coyote Friday night, and the first thing I did after both shots from that AR was reached up to feel the bolt, and it's not there anymore. And I mean, the advantage is going to be huge because I'm not going to say I'm the best shot every single time. So it's always good to have that quick follow-up shots where you don't have to rack the bolt. You don't have to take your eye off the scope. You know, you just keep on shooting, and that is going to be a drastic difference for me this year, I think, is just having that quick follow-up shot if you need it. Plus, you know, we call in multiples, 2, 3, 4 at a time sometimes, and you put one down, go get on the other one without having to worry about it, and you just keep shooting.
Well, you just have come to the revelation that AR Hunters has been trying to, you know, spread the word. So, welcome to the club. I'm glad that you have picked this up. But a guy like you, you know, saying, "Hey, wait a minute, I think there might be something new I want to try," is great.
Right.
You know, you've been doing it for a while. You're your way, but you're not opposed to, you know, checking something else out. And I do like the comment you make that the follow-up shot, you know, whether it was a clean miss or it needs to be a more rapid, ethical, you know, humane follow-up shot, then that is there and available to you without, you know, coming off the scope, without running a bolt. It's just second nature as time goes on. So I think that's a bonus, you know, and I think it's a great way to hunt, and, you know, you know, good for the hunter, good for the predator.
I agree completely. It's just going to be something that I got to get used to, but, you know, I put down 2 predators with it in less than 2 weeks of owning the gun, and so far so good. I just got to get used to that, you know, semi-auto deal.
Well, let's take a second then. So is this a custom build they did specifically for you? Is this one of their off-the-shelf guns? What can you tell us, you know, just a little bit about this and then why this caliber?
As far as I am aware, Brenton doesn't really do any custom guns. They do them all, you know, off the shelf, same build, but they take very good quality control of their guns. These are not just a, you know, cheap thrown together rifle that'll put, you know, 5 in a 10-inch group at 100 yards. These, when we got them in.
This isn't something Josh Mapes said, I want one of these. Can you build it? You went in and said, I want one of those off the shelf.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, every one of the hunters that are listening might, you know, do the same. So I just want to make sure they understood that this is a gun off the shelf that, you know, they can pick up and go to work with too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got them and they were just, I mean, they were shooting under an inch group at 100, and, you know, for coyotes, that is plenty good for me.
Yep.
I'm just looking to put that bullet where it needs to go to drop that animal quickly.
Now, this caliber, what drew you to this caliber? Because it's not your standard round.
No, we're actually right now testing out a 62 grain Nosler Varmageddon. I think it's a flat base hollow point. And one thing I can tell you for sure off the coyote and the fox I shot this weekend, that round is not fur friendly yet. But there's a couple different options out there that we're going to be trying. I believe there's a 55 grain, like a VMAX style.
Okay.
And then I think there's like a mid 70s, maybe a 77 grain or so 75 grain match bullet. We're probably not going to be shooting the match bullets at animals, but we'll be sticking with these couple rounds that we got right now and just doing some load testing. And, you know, it's shooting a little bit faster than a 223. I believe it's a 6.8 SPC neck down to 223. But I mean, it's going to be I zeroed an inch high at 100 yards, and I'm about dead on at 200, and it's not going to be too drastic of a drop at 300. So I'll be able to reach out and take a poke if I need to.
Very nice. Well, Josh, I really appreciate your time. I know, you know, the night is already on. You might already even be suited up to go out tonight. I don't want to take up a whole lot of your time. I think we've shared some really good information with our listeners. And, man, I'm excited. You know, keep us posted. I know if our listeners are following you on Facebook and social media, you're doing a good job of telling them how things are going. But, you know, I'd like to hear how your season turned out, too.
It sounds good. We appreciate you having me.
Well, very good, folks. Josh Bates, Overdrive Outdoors. Or, you know, why don't I just let you tell that? Why don't you say how can people follow you? Where do you know you post the most information?
99% of our stuff is going to be posted on our Facebook page. That's Overdrive Outdoors LLC. We also have an Instagram page. Website is overdriveoutdoorsmi.com. I mean, we're okay. Constantly posting. I mean, 99% of it's on our Facebook. So if you're on there, get on there and you can see everything we're doing.
Very good. Well, again, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man, and good luck out there. Stay warm and, you know, keep shooting straight.
Thank you very much, JJ.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. That kind of wraps up our great interview here with Josh Mapes, and I hope you guys benefit from this. I hope you take some tips from this, and we're able to put some new information out for you. I learned some stuff. He's always, you know, more than willing to share what he knows, and we really appreciate that. So we'll see you on the, you know, next episode, and please keep following and stay tuned.